Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
That was just...
Well done, mate.
That was...
What an adventure.
You're a good man.
I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, really.
Well done.
I'm glad you were there. Couldn't have done that alone. You brought whiskey, thank God.
I know, thank God.
There, thank
you,
God.
You can take the first one.
I don't know if I can open it.
Yeah, I'm shaking as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Please reassure me that you were feeling something.
I was feeling I'd love to do it again.
Oh, what? I can't think of a better person to have done it with.
Mate.
To your very good health.
And yours, my friend.
I could have another one.
No, well, save some for me, will you?
Oh, just one more.
No, come skip it. Cheers, mate. What an adventure.
From Providence, Rhode Island, in the Minute with Mary studio, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and there is 0.0 chance that I am ever doing that swing thing.
The never swing? Whatever
it is, yeah, never happening. Okay, there's just no way. Not only falling from that kind of height, but falling backwards so you can't even see what's forget about it.
Forget it.
Never not once, Marvin. Never not once. Just not going to happen.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, I don't know when we would make it to New Zealand to go on the Never Swing, so that's all right.
Just know that it will never be a destination.
We can go to Flora's to go eat her food.
Yes, I will.
Obviously.
I will go eat the Free Willy, salmon,
steamed
whatever it is.
Fish that she, head,
that,
yes.
That the whale just gives Flora right out of her mouth, just freely and well, like easily.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
You know, it's wild to know that we are here at the end of season 2 of Men in Kilts. For those of you who don't get to have the video component, I am under the weather, so I am wearing my like Claire shawl thing that she wears.
Oh, the Infinity
frequently.
Scarf.
Yeah, the Infinity Scarf that she wears, something similar.
That's right. Who got you that?
You did.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You know, your awesome husband.
It's making me feel all sorts of cozy, but I apologize for those of you watching on video as I am.
You know what? And I'm embracing the mess because my hair is a complete disaster.
It's all good.
So we are not camera ready. But
you know what? This episode, they were like wet, wild, muddy.
Sure.
So it's all good. We're just like feeling it. And we want to talk about Sam and Graham.
I'll get
in
wet,
this,
wild, and muddy.
This final episode
Sorry.
Of season 2 of Men in Kilts because it was a fun one. And it was a great way to kind of wrap up this season. All right. So before we do, however, we want to remind you all that you can find the Mary and Blake podcast in any podcatcher of choice. Just search Mary and Blake. You can also search Outlander Cast. We're also on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. We're keeping content going there. So even though this is the end of season 2 of Men in Kilts, we are still podcasting about lots of other shows. So make sure you head to maryandblake.com for all of that. And those of you who are members at jointhenerdclan.com, you are our patrons who keep the lights on, help us make sure that we can keep these shows free for the public. We do want to let you know that we are going to be having some free and some exclusive content for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com coming up really soon as the new season of The Crown is dropping on Netflix. So if you are a fan of the show The Crown and you've been thinking about becoming a member at jointhenerdclan.com, you're going to want to do that. Also, when we are inching closer to our goal of 1,000 patrons there, And when we hit that goal, Blake will be doing his book club about drums. So if you're an Outlander fan, keeping that going. If you like to support mom and pop shops, this is a way that you can do that.
Don't forget, Mob, we got other stuff coming too. The people that are from 950 to 1,000,
yes,
when you sign up, when you go to jointhenerdclan.com, not only mm-hmm. are you going to get a free Michael Mouse sticker, mm-hmm. right? Everybody loves the Michael Mouse stuff, and I don't blame him because Michael Mouse is pretty funny. However, you're also because, you know, we made this goal and we established it with the Men in Kilts podcast here, mm-hmm. that you're going to get the sticker that is featured right on the camper. The one that has the Scottish hat with the I'll take the high road. Actually, it was featured pretty heavily in this episode towards the end. So, yeah, you'll get that one as well. You can put that on your car, put that on your camper, put it on your motorcycle, put it on your forehead. I don't care what you do with it. But so not only will you get the Blake's Book Club, you'll get the free Michael Mouse sticker and the Men in Kilt sticker too. I can't think of a better deal. Can't think of one. You couldn't beat that with a stick.
Agreed.
You're like, yeah, okay, Blake. Yeah. Well, why don't we
all
stop
right,
talking?
Let's
now.
Get into the show.
Let's do it.
All right, so kicking things off, we're going to have our dram rating for this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 drams, 1 being the absolute worst, 5 being the absolute best. Blake, where would you place episode 4 of season 2?
Oh, geez. Where would I place it? You know, I'm going to give this one like a 4-2.
Okay.
I'm going to give it like in that range. It was better than last episode, but it left me, you know...
Did it leave you wanting more?
Yeah, but that's not even the thing. I just felt like it was dissatisfying.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like.
Because yeah, it was. Okay, we'll get into it. Yeah. I'm giving this a 4.9. Same as last time.
Okay.
I'm going to be happy with whatever I get right now from these two. And I'm loving it. Still not a perfect 5. And I don't know what that would be for a perfect 5, but this was lovely. Oh, I think I had the perfect 5, though, when I cried. I think I did. If not, it was very high as well. This is a 4.9. Okay, our GBGs for the episodes, the good, the bads, and the greats, Blake.
All right. Well, you don't, normally you go first.
I know. I'm mixing it up. It's the finale.
Breaking all the rules. That's what we do with finales.
my brain is also broken from not feeling well right now, so yes.
All right. For me, the good. When Sam comes out and he's dressed up in his groin outfit and he's very, very like knowingly says, it's been a hard time on the ridge. Like, I just thought I thought that was genuinely funny.
Agreed.
And that is someone that is well aware of his audience, well aware of who he's catering or to whom he's catering. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a good inside joke for all you Outlander nerds. Like, no, really nobody outside of the Outlander verse is going to get that joke. And it's just, it's a fun little nod to us dorks that
it is.
That like that. So, okay, so that's that. My bad. So they get into the camper and they talk about all the things that they have done and all the wildlife that they have experienced in New Zealand. And then they cut to a huge montage of like penguins and falcons and lizards and
dolphins
and like, and then they even get into like, they went on like these dune buggies and like they had a whole thing. It looked like a lot of great footage. And that's why I say it left me a little dissatisfied.
Okay.
Because there clearly was so much more mm-hmm. to what they had filmed, and they were like, yeah, we don't know what to do with this, so we're just going to put it as a montage. Yeah. Like, it, and part of me is almost like, I don't even want to see that. Unless they were,
it teases you.
Yeah, okay. But it's not a tease because there's nothing coming up after.
You're right. I mean, I think that there were definitely logistics and it was pandemic time. We see a lot of maskage during in this episode. So it was a very short season, just 4 episodes.
Yeah.
They have used these little clips before to kind of transition through things where it makes you wonder, like, maybe it just wasn't enough to talk about and maybe it's enough to just mention. You know, maybe, who knows, maybe they record 2 times as much as we see on TV. And
well,
I'm sure
that's way more than
oh, no,
what we
I know,
see,
but
yeah.
You know what I mean? Two times as many places as we see on TV. Because I know we've seen this in other episodes as well, and even the previous season where there'll just be this little clip. You know, like they're doing that cool boat ride thing in this too as well. So I feel like there's always things that they do, and when the editors really sit down, they say, is there enough on this to sink our teeth into, or it should just be a quick little quip? And that's what they had to do, but I also know that there were constraints.
So that's the argument that we all kind of have to have with ourselves, and clearly producers for the show, Sam and I'm sure Graham, they all had
this was like during COVID time frame. So, like things were shut down.
That's the thing, right? So we all have to look at it and say, okay, is this COVID stuff? Mm-hmm. But more than that, the content itself, they all have to, it has to, like, there are certain themes, right? And is there enough or is there too much for a particular theme?
Yeah.
Right. And or is there not enough for a particular theme? So you can't just like make it about that thing, you know, or you know, would it have been better to have a 5th episode where they did stars even want to pay for a 5th episode?
But like
right?
you said,
like there's a whole bunch of considerations that are in here.
Maybe it wouldn't have clicked well together. You know what I mean? And I think that that's it. That's the magic of when you're watching things in the editing bay. You can really sit back and say, all right, what are the themes that we can kind of pull from all of this? And what would work and what doesn't? And what's kind of the leftover scraps?
Sure.
And is it enough to make an episode of it? Or will it feel so disjointed where you're saying like, okay, we're bouncing around from bit to bit and there's no, you know, they can only do so much voiceover to connect the pieces.
Right.
So I think that they did a great job. And what's your great, Mike?
My great is it's the end when they are going down that swing. As much as I would never do that, I loved watching it. Mm-hmm. And the visceral, like, oh my God, like from Graham and even Sam looking a little nervous. Agreed. as he's doing this swing thing. And it's such a fast movement that at some point it looks like their feet are over their heads at one I don't even know how that's possible, but it happened. I mean, physics, you know, like that's physics is a thing.
Yes.
But also at the same time, was Graham crying?
Yes, he was.
It looked like it was. And I'm not making fun of the guy because I would be sobbing.
You would be crying walking up to it.
Yeah, no chance. But then at the same time, there is a genuine and believable, honest friendship between the two. Yeah. So when Graham does say, I couldn't have done this, like, without, I couldn't imagine doing this with anybody else, you know, and Sam saying, I'm proud of you, like the whole, it really truly is, that is Men in Kilts. That is the thing for
me. The bromance.
And the editors, while, you know, we could argue back and forth about the choice to have a little montage about all the other, like, stuff that was left over, they made the absolute right choice in having that be the finale.
Agreed.
So I have a sub bad now that I just thought about
it. Well, we'll talk about it in the episode.
Well, let me just...
No, I'm sorry.
Let me just
Oreo.
Say it.
No, it was a GBG. It's not a GBGB. No. Done.
Fair. Fine. Go.
My great lubricated.
Oh, yes.
Sam must have seen someone get lubricated to go and absorb.
And he must
how he was saying he's researching different things. So he must have been researching and someone might have said, okay, and climbing in is a little tricky, so you could add some whatever for lubrication, for whatever it was. Sam must have heard this somewhere. Or maybe he just saw people covered in water thinking that they were lubricated. But he was very nervous about, I don't know, chafing, rug burns, something. He
all
brings it up.
Numerous
times. Place. And I love that he uses that word. Like, he doesn't say, like, do we put something on us to make sure we can get in the ball? Like, he just flat out says the word lubricated.
Yeah.
And he says it first to the owner of Zorb, and Graham looks at him.
Like, are you?
And sits on it for a second.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. And then then as they're getting into the Zorb, he asks another guy, like, do you lubricate me?
Yeah.
And like, he asks, do you lubricate yourself? He's like, essentially saying, like, are you going to lube me up or am I going to lube me up? And Graham just looks at him again. It's like, are you kidding, buddy? Oh, my
Please
goodness
stop
gracious.
Talking. Please so
that
stop
was,
talking.
That was my good.
That is that would totally would be you and I, Mary.
Yes.
Mary, like, where's the lube? I'd be like, are you serious? Come on, dude.
My bad is the weird, awkward transition out of Hell's Gate. So Hell's Gate, of course, is the mud place. And they're like all covered in the mud. And make sure you get your armpits. And Sam's walking up to Graham to go put it on his back. His head, we don't know. And then they have the sound effect of it being like sizzling hot and Graham screaming.
Yes.
When that wouldn't have been sizzling hot at that point. Sam's holding it in his hands. It wasn't the flesh burning kind. And then they walk out all clean. And I kind of wanted them, like, they walk out all clean, but they walk out all macho.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't even like walking out being like, yeah, we feel good. High five. Nice and clean. You know, like, I almost expected that would have been a great place for them to joke about something like how long it took to wash it off or how they feel or anything. And they just walk out with this really monumental music like, well, they're clean. And yet... It just didn't make sense and it was disjointed.
Yes.
And I think I was saying this to you before, that one thing that I find with this show is that sometimes you can tell that the editors either are crunched for time or they just don't know how to fit things together and to kind of transition out of it. Like, maybe there was nothing else super cool, or they didn't film stuff. They obviously didn't want to show the guy showering. So they just had to kind of make something up. And that's when I feel like it is a little too kitschy. So that part I did not like, as it kind of stood out. And then my great was Graham going down the slip and slide off the boogie board in the initial, like, even before the title comes up. And this too, once again, just one of those little clips that, like, maybe they spent the whole day in this park near this natural slip and slide. Maybe they explained how it was formed. Who knows? But whatever they got out of it was this little bit of them going down nature slip and slide. Sam is first holding an umbrella in his bathing suit. They're both holding the boogie boards with the little GoPros on the boogie boards. They are obviously in swimsuits. Sam is holding an umbrella. You're about to get wet, Sam.
I know. What are we
Bless
doing?
Your sweetheart. And that's, of course, when he says, first wind down wins. Graham agrees. We see them start. I've watched this at least seven times. Because just this bit. And I still laugh thinking about it. When Graham's, I'm stuck. And you see him wiggling. Because we've all been on... We've all been on things that aren't working, whether it's like a video game or, like, you know, if you're at like a go-kart or a bumper car.
I was going to say, bumper car is the worst. You feel so helpless. You see them cars coming barreling down at you and you're just stuck. There's nothing. You know you're going to get pummeled.
Yes, that's how I felt. It was like I was stuck in a bumper car that it wasn't working. I'm stuck. Sam is already in the water before Graham gets going. So just understand, like, what happens after that. Sam's already in the water. Okay. Thank God Graham wore a rash guard. Because he comes off the boogie board. The GoPro goes flying off. Once again, I've watched this way too many times. He still has his hands out, though. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, oh my God, if the boogie board got stuck, like, you could break fingers going down this.
You're going to be cut to the bone.
So all you hear from Graham is, I'm stuck. Oh, shit.
And he's just...
You think about what that did to his hip bones? Like, oh my God. He didn't even get to go down on his squishy bum.
Oh my God. He had to go down. Like, just getting mauled by all these rocks.
Just perfect and authentic and unplanned.
Gonna need a medic by the time he gets down there.
Seriously, you could not, like, stunt that. That was amazing. So that was my great, because still, talking about it several times later, I'm still crying laughing.
Yes.
All right, let's get into this episode.
Oh, man, Mary. You know, you make me laugh. I was really laughing more about you, and I reacted to all this.
Oh, my God. I mean, I love me some Graham McTavish. So after this...
I wonder why you got married to me.
Or after the mud, at some point, Sam's driving naked. Driving without wearing...
Yeah.
Driving. He asked, is driving naked in New Zealand against the law? And Graham says, well, you're about to find out because you have nothing on your bottom half.
Yeah. Listen.
Okay. Okay. What would that... Okay. Do you think he was just in his skivvies, his undies, or do you think he was tush balls, touch and seat?
Tush balls. Okay. So...
Airing things out. Maybe if a bee comes by, it'll get less stuck.
My best friend in college, God love him, was very, like, just didn't care. Getting naked, doing the whole thing.
I mean, if, we know if that Sam gets naked.
If that were my best friend, I would say that's tush and balls.
This is Sam who, like, ran into the ocean naked. I feel like Sam's
that's
a
different.
Very naked
That's a
person.
Little different.
I mean...
Like, you're not next to your, like, your friend... Like an arm's length away, just being totally nude.
Just talking with each other.
Just sitting down.
I mean, every once in a while, Graham kind of glances. So I'm wondering. I feel like he wouldn't have said naked.
And then you're the friend that, like, okay, how do I not look? But I can't look. Don't want to look. Eyes right here. Eyes right here.
And then, so Sam's wearing a shirt. When they would do bigger shots of Graham, they would show his groin, legs, you know, like they would show his whole body.
Sure.
But they wouldn't do that. They were only doing the from the back shots of
Well,
Sam.
Yeah, well, because, you know, number one, they can't show it.
Why would they
number
joke
two,
if he isn't
number
naked?
Number two, they got to keep the mystery alive. They got to let the mystery be.
But okay, so what do you vote? Do you think he had button balls on the seat? I say yes.
If he's like my best friend, yes, he absolutely did. Just no shame. We're bros, and I'm tushing balls.
I would like
balls.
To air this out a little bit.
We got things to do.
He had a bee stuck in it before.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe he was a little afraid. Yeah. I don't know, but however.
You wouldn't do that.
There is
next to Graham McTavish.
No chance I would do that. Listen, like there are some people in this world that are just real comfortable with themselves. And you know what? All the power to you. I would never do that. I almost would rather do the backward seat dive thing than sit next to my best friend naked driving a vehicle.
I'd do it.
I know you would. This is a girl that ran naked on the quad.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Listen, I've done things. I'm Sam
yeah,
in a relationship.
You're Sam.
And if I was still a little sticky from the slip and slide or the mud bath or who knows what, because, you know, it's hard to tell with the editing, I would air it out.
Oh, God.
At this point, and if a bee got stuck in my trousers, maybe.
Listen, if it was you and I was next to you, like, okay.
Maybe he had like a little towel over him, but he was just kind of drying.
Yeah, he
out.
Had like a little bit of a courtesy towel.
Maybe he was sitting on a towel. But I don't know.
I would hope he's sitting on a towel. You got to return that thing.
That's why I'm saying balls and butt on the thing. Maybe it was warm leather and he wanted to have, you know, the heated seat.
You know, the good news is that you can still get a heated seat.
Yes, I know.
Through pants.
Okay. The other thing we need to bring up is they could have gone to Hobbiton. They could have gone to the Hobbit. But you know what? Hashtag COVID.
Yeah, and well, they also kind of gave you a little bit of The Hobbit there, too, because they went to Weta.
Yes.
You know, and that's cool. Like, for a film nerd, that's cool.
When they showed it, though, when they first showed The Hobbit House, I was like, get the hell out. I need to see if Sam Heughan can fit inside this door.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And, of course, it couldn't happen. But, like, that's it. And they say there's all these other things that we would love to see. We don't have the time for it. But, like I said, filming during all the pandemic.
Yeah, that must have been hot. So do you think
they even talked about glowworm caves?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know either, but it looked real and it looked like Avatar.
I see you.
Oh my gosh. So then they go to Hell's Gate. So we get teased with Hobbit and glowworm caves and they go to rotten egg smell place.
Would you do that?
What?
Rotten egg smell place? Hell's Gate?
I'll do everything.
I'd be terrified.
Why?
They're like, yeah, if you put your finger in there, you'll have nothing.
Yeah, you don't touch the hot one.
Yeah, but what happens? You're on a bunch of mud.
Oh, my God.
And it ain't like there's big walls in the way.
I would totally do it.
There's just a sign that says, don't go in. You could fall. You could trip.
I'd be more concerned about the smell ruining the experience for me. That smells like rotten eggs.
Sulfur. Rotten eggs. That's tough.
How incredible, though, that it was like antibiotics that these warriors knew to urinate on wounds. I didn't know this. I know to pee on a jellyfish sting.
Sure.
I didn't know you could pee on anything, any cut.
I'm going to take someone's word for that.
I'm going to take this guy's word for it, sure. The New Zealand guy. But honestly, here in Rhode Island, the Ocean State, we're taught jellyfish sting equals pee on it.
Yes.
Whether it's your pee, somebody else's pee, get some pee.
There's some pee. There's going to be pee involved.
But never, never have I heard from our indigenous cultures that are from this area, mm-hmm. from other places I've heard of people peeing.
On a wound.
Yeah.
I feel like it's... You know what?
People pee on jellyfish stings.
I'm probably going to... Yeah, because that doesn't involve like an open...
I mean, it is. It's cut up. Not gushing. So anyway, I love that they meme. I love that these warriors came here and they were like, this water must actually be urine, the most powerful urine from the most powerful warrior. And that's what they named it.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Yep.
And then while they're joking... Okay. The tour guide. That tour guide was the best tour guide, by the way. He put B guy to shame.
He was just like, yeah, I just want to pee on you.
Yeah. He was like, oh, I'm a descendant of that Maori warrior. And Graham's like, no way. How do you know that? And he's like, joking. Just wanted to see if you'd let me pee on you. And then Graham gets totally grossed out. However, when they're talking about the mud and what the mud can do.
Yes.
Sam makes a joke. Hey, would this mud help you grow back hair? And the tour guide says, yeah, I used to be bald.
Yeah.
And then Graham's laughing. So I think Graham likes hair jokes more than pee jokes.
I like a good pee joke. I just don't like being peed on.
Okay. And then... same part, Graham gets into the mud and he says things are about to get real weird. And he does it in a Texas accent again.
You know, that's just how he rolls, man. That's what he does. Loves himself a good Texas accent.
All right.
That's my attempt at a Texas accent.
After this, they have the wildlife montage.
Yeah, you know.
It looks
cool. I would want to see that stuff.
I mean, but maybe there really wasn't much to see. Maybe they were like, this is going to be great. And all that happened was the falcon flew around and scared Graham and Sam lost the falcon.
that was genuinely funny.
But maybe that was it. Maybe aside from that, it's like, yes. Like, we don't know if those tour guides were bad. And if they were bad, they'd be like, we better not keep these people on here because Mary and Blake are going to make fun of the tour guides. So let's just cut and see the cute penguins.
Considered our opinions.
Oh, yeah. God, of course.
I remember when they gave us a call. Good friends. Friends of the show.
Penguins, super cute. But like, as I said, maybe those were just the only moments that they could get. And there wasn't enough for a full, complete package for it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, Mary, especially considering that they did have some stuff. You know, like you go back to the shock thing and whatever. Like, it wasn't all that good.
No.
So if that is what they chose, you can only imagine.
I mean, maybe they went on the dolphin trip and that was all they saw. Those like 2 seconds of dolphins, you know? So that's especially with wildlife. You can't really figure out how they're going to behave. And
yeah, but even they even had what's it called?
The kiwi bird?
No, not the, kicker? No. The go-kart, the whatever, the dune buggies. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that is a pretty cool thing to film.
But also, is it truly unique to New Zealand driving around a desert dune buggy?
Probably not necessarily. Yeah.
Same thing with falconry. I mean, we've got falconry here.
That's
so
true.
I kind of feel like they needed to do things that really packed a punch that you learned something where it was like, this is very special to New Zealand.
Sure.
Like the special effects props workshop.
Yeah. The Weta was really cool. I, again, as a film nerd, you know, going to those special effects places and seeing how these things come together, like for The Hobbit or whatever, you know, it's like going to see ILM, right? The other huge special effects company that was started by George Lucas just for the single purpose of Star Wars, right? By the way, if you get a chance, go watch the documentary Light and Magic on Disney Plus. It is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Oh, my God. Anyway, it was really great to see them put this stuff on there and on them rather and just
The detail work that they put into these prosthetics.
Yeah, not a small amount.
I mean, you look at the pores alone and the schnoz that they gave Sam. Cute, yeah. By the way, that as they're going to the prosthetic place to Wada. Mm-hmm. Wada. I thought it was Wada.
Nope.
Oh, man. He's joking, and Graham's like, oh, what would you do if they could do something to you? And Sam's like, oh, I'd get a bigger nose. And Graham's like, do have a small nose. I'd get like stubble, maybe some beard. Okay. And then I'd be bald. And Graham was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And he's laughing at himself because it took him so long to realize that Sam was busting with him.
Right.
Just once again, getting those pure bromance moments from these two.
Yep, absolutely.
But honestly, the job that they did turning Sam into a dwarf was phenomenal. I thought it was good. Graham was so-so.
Yeah, well, they put the wig. The wig
and
the ears on him, and that was basically it. I mean, he's got that massive beard anyway. They're not going to make him, take it off. So.
Exactly. Yeah. All they could have done is essentially put a big mask on him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just looks like Graham wearing a wig. But the transformation with Sam, and then Sam fully embodies the dwarf groin.
I know. talking like that. He's like, I don't even know why I'm still talking like this.
Right? And Graham just got the biggest kick out of it. Like, I loved watching Sam because he really did a great job. But honestly, my eyes were on Graham's reaction.
Yeah.
Because he was blown away.
Loved it.
Sam needs to do some character work like this. I mean, I know that he is a hunk and heartthrob and, you know, gets all these different things because he is so stunning. But I feel like he would have a flipping blast.
I would totally agree with you.
Something out of his element where he gets to wear prosthetics like this.
Yes.
Speaking of prosthetics, we talk about it on each episode. They do little clips and stuff from Outlander. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, the collage that they have of Sam looking different as Jamie Fraser. Oh, you know the possibilities with prosthetics and makeup. And like, it still looks like him every single time.
It's still the same except for a dead spider.
Yes, there's a dead spider. There's spectacles, there's hair. Yeah. But aside from that, like,
They did have they didn't show it, but obviously the stuff with his back. Like,
well, that's what
a big
I thought
deal.
They were going to point out was his back, because obviously that's the biggest prosthetic that he had to wear.
Yes,
and really it was more just like the makeup team, which wonderful work, right? Like, they do fantastic job.
Great.
He particularly with his acting abilities has been able to portray Jamie in these different ages and stages of his life. But I just kind of thought, like, really? I mean, it was more impactful on screen when he said, "Oh yeah, and Graham, they even gave you hair." Like, that was a massive viewing difference.
Yes.
So I just thought that was interesting. But, you get what you get. One episode you get Graham eating and drinking, and one episode you get different hair versions of Jamie Fraser. And then they go to the Never Swing.
Oh, no chance. No way.
Fear less, live more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Great for you. Love that for
that
you.
That needs to be a shirt. Like,
sell that right next to my
live more. No,
rosés,
sell it
rosés for drinking, not thinking.
Yeah, that needs to be added to the Marion Blake store.
Yes.
But I agree with you. Seeing Graham cry, thank God they had Sam hold the GoPro.
Oh, I know.
Because Graham is holding on.
It's just
dearly,
shuddering in fear.
Like a baby on their first time on a swing. You know, the bucket swing babies when they first go in. And they're like, do I hold onto the bucket? Do I hold onto the chains? What is going on? Why did you put me in here? That was Graham McTavish.
Oh man. That would absolutely be me. Just, I don't even know what to do with my life. Just kill me now.
Yep.
Get it over with.
And
that's it. That's the end. So what do you think, Marvin? How would you grade the second season of Men in Kilts?
Compared to one?
Yes.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I mean, first off, we got more episodes in season one.
Yes.
Second off all, it took place in Scotland, which obviously we all love since we watch Outlander. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like I learned more, about in this season than I did in season one, mm-hmm. because I knew less about New Zealand and I didn't know about its different kind of like tropical climates, and I don't know. I just didn't know as much about it.
Sure.
So I don't like this more. I still think I like season one more. However, I find their interactions in this season to also be quite lovely. you know, it's like saying, which kid do you like more?
Sure, yeah.
It just blends so beautifully. So I think I learned a bit more here just because I feel like I know a great deal about Scotland. But still, I learned a lot watching the Scottish one. I just feel like they're also a bit more comfortable with each other here. Mm-hmm. You know, it would have been interesting to see what they could have accomplished had it not been during COVID. So,
yeah, I feel like season two took a lot of great lessons from season one. Mm-hmm. But my thought is I got more genuine interaction out of the first season.
Okay.
It almost felt like it took it the opposite. Like, see, it felt like it took season two took the lessons from season one and then went in an opposite direction. Mm-hmm. My sense is, in order for this to be a thing, to come into its own, it needs to find the middle ground of production versus two dudes, camera, and we're going.
Now, what's funny, of course, is like in Scotland, obviously, that's where their home base is. Yeah. And now in New Zealand, obviously, it's where Graham lives. So, fun question for you. Mm-hmm. If Men in Kilts could have season three, mm-hmm. where would you like them to go?
See, now that's a good question. I said this last season, and I'm going to stick with it. I want to see them go somewhere where neither of them are familiar with.
I know. So where would that be?
Anything, right? So I would love to see them go to a place like Thailand or like India or, I don't know, some weird freaking island that nobody's ever heard of, like, but or like maybe even go to a place that some people have heard of but just you don't really frequent, like Vietnam. Like that would be an interesting place to go to, right? I don't know, I would want to see something like that where they are totally immersed in stuff that they have no clue about, you know what I mean? And just to see that, I want to see them eat like bugs and like do all the stuff that you're just like, no way, dude.
Nice. Nah.
Like, how funny would it be to see Graham eat a bug?
Yeah.
Like, that would be hysterical.
Like a chocolate covered cricket or something. Okay.
So, how about you? Where would you want them to go, Marvin?
All right. Believe it or not, I feel very differently than you do, okay. Even though I would love that.
All right.
I want them to go to Texas.
You know what? Texas is a whole nother country. So
it is.
I kind of agree with you.
I would love like a Western America, just America. Like even if they do, you know, New York, if they do Revolutionary War kind of stuff, if they do Texas, if they do New Orleans and the jazz scene and the Creole food. I want them to go to Alaska and be on glaciers and
that'd
bald
be kinda
eagles.
Cool.
Hawaii, like I just think that might be cool as if they did like an American adventure. Just obviously they've been to a lot of these places, but a lot of their viewers, the rest of the world, have not. And I just think that the fact that he always has a Texas accent, I'm like, bring it in.
Yeah, you
bring
know, Mary, I, the more that I think about it, I think you'd probably capture more of an audience if you did like an American adventure. Texas is a great place to go just because like... Yeah, you could do New York and you can do the whole thing, but I don't know. It's just kind of cliche.
I don't know. I could see them like going on like an off-Broadway kind of thing. You know, people who, even in America, like we say it all the time, we're very fortunate. We live on the East Coast. We're very close to Boston and New York. Just to give people a perspective of where we are, we're 1 hour from Boston, 3 hours from New York. Like in other states, we would be in the same state as New York City. So we're very fortunate with that. But like most of the people in our country, even, will never be able to go to New York City and Broadway.
It's an interesting take.
And a lot of people in our country will never be able to go to like a dude ranch in Wyoming or Texas or something like that. So I don't know. That's what I would say. And I think it would be easy for them. They'd easily have their film crews.
Yeah.
It would be in the same language for the most part. So I don't know.
I would say that is probably most
it's
likely.
It's like an easy button.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be fun.
It's probably most likely that they would do an American adventure.
Like I want to have them do like a hot dog eating competition.
That would be funny.
Right?
You know, go visit Coney Island, do the whole thing. That would be funny. I'll give you that.
Yeah, just kind of the shtick things. I've been, for some reason, YouTube knows me, and I've been watching these videos of boarding school, like English boarding school boys eating American foods. So like one episode they brought Taco Bell in, and it's like these cute little boys pretty much dressed in like Harry Potter Hogwarts outfits, because that's what they wear at the boarding schools in England. And you know, they're like, this is a gordita supreme, and they're, you know, they're like opening it ever so carefully, and they're going, and they'll have like the Crunchwrap supreme. They go through it all, and I don't like this one at all. Oh, I like this one. These are all just the same thing, just wrapped differently. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Like it's just but it's just so cute watching them eat Taco Bell when, like, most Americans are eating it in the car.
Right. I know.
You know?
Like, on the way to soccer practice.
Ripping the fire sauce packet with their teeth.
Getting
pouring
on your shirt.
Slurping down some Mountain Dew. You know? So I would just love to see Sam and Graham here in my own country.
Yeah, I so, like, the that would be nice as an American to see that, but part of me wants to see
them. No, they need
them.
To have a bit more cultured area.
Yeah, yeah. No, but part of me wants to see them go to a place that we're all unfamiliar with. Like,
yes.
Like most of the viewing audience isn't going to be from one of those countries that I cited, right?
Correct.
So like it would be interesting to have that kind of experience. But yet again, you know, for whom are they making this show?
Even just go to Alaska. Alaska is totally
different. Yeah, like so again, for whom are they making this show?
They're making the show
primarily for primarily for Americans, because that's, you know, stars, the whole thing. So getting it more a final season, if you will, like if it's going to be a final season.
Better not be.
But let's just say that it is, right? Because how long can you keep doing this?
Forever. As long as they get paid, they're happy. They go on vacation together.
No, as long as Sam is relevant, they can keep doing it.
Okay.
After Outlander, what's going to be his relevancy?
He's going to be James Bond.
No, he's not.
He may.
There's no chance he was.
Why not?
Because he's not. It's not going to be him.
Oh my God. If it is, what will you
and
do?
And I'm not saying that he won't
will
be
you
relevant.
Will you make a t-shirt and put Sam as my James Bond?
No. I'm not saying that Sam isn't going to be relevant. He very well could be. But he's not. He has yet to take that jump that like George Clooney took even Tom Hanks. You know, by this point in their careers, they would have already become legitimate movie stars. Sam is not.
It's okay. He still has time.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Oh, man.
So, all right. Got anything else, Marvin, you want to talk about for Men in Kilts season 2?
No, that's it.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's close it out. Don't forget, ladies and gents, when we get to 1,000 members 950 through 1,000 are going to get
stickers.
The stickers, and all of the Nerd Clan is going to get the beginning of the beginning of Blake's book club for drums. So just consider that. All right, Marvin, let's close this bad boy out.
So incredibly much for tuning in as we covered Men in Kilts season 2. It was an absolute delight to watch this show, and we hope that this companion podcast brought some joy to your earbuds as well. As we like to remind you, we are podcasting still at Miriam Blake Media throughout Droughtlander, covering all sorts of different shows. We're, of course, doing The Crown just for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com, because pretty much like 99% of our podcasts are free to the public. We want everyone and anyone all over the world to be able to enjoy the community and the conversations. But to keep that going, this mom and pop podcast shop does need support. We're not part of a major media conglomerate, so we do have jointhenerdclan.com, where you can join for as little as $2 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee.
Right.
Heck, that's less than a bottle of water at most places. But as a thank you, you know, we give special access. We give early access to all of the podcasts. We give special podcasts like what we're going to be having for The Crown. Coming back out soon when we get it will also be Bridgerton.
Yes.
Season three,
yes.
So that will be, once again, that's going to be free for everybody. It will be early access for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com.
Get all my knee-jerk reactions.
Yes. So, yes. You know, just know that there's lots coming. And if you are a member there, thank you. And if you're not yet a member, it really means a lot to us. We also are going to be doing holiday cards as well as holiday gifts for certain levels of our Patreon community. So thank you in advance and keep your eyes out for that. On that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you have been listening to Outlander Cast.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.